Well, welcome again and again and again and again and again. Again, welcome, welcome, welcome. Can't say welcome enough. Jesus is so good. His mercies are new each day. I do want to let you know that yesterday, Hastino and Yvonne and Gary Jenner, where's Gary Jenner? He was here, but anyway, he's here somewhere. Between the two of the men there, Gary and Hastino, four people received Christ at Eva Del Park yesterday. Yeah. And it was really cool to see that. I didn't have any role except to shut up and just listen. And that was perfect. Anytime I can shut up and just listen, that's a win for me. And so thank you. Just thanks for supporting that. In a couple weeks, Andrew and reminded me and Cruz and Gary that we want to have some summer clothes brought in so we can take it back to the park for people that are just really hot and don't need to be wearing long sleeve shirts and coats. Okay, so that'll be coming up. We have a new members class coming up. That's next Sunday. Just meet us at Nick's Pizza. Okay, try to give me a heads up so I know kind of number-wise, but we kind of rent out the back room and it works out nicely. And so there'll be the meal will be on us, but we'll go through all the things, all the doctrinal things that the church embraces biblically, as well as answer questions, as well as just talk about, well, the first steps in walking with Christ and growing in his body, the bride of Christ. So that's next Sunday, right after church, over at Nick's Pizza. I've been nicely reminded. Is it? Okay. Well, yeah, they get that. They know what that means. Nicely reminded that I forget the offering week after week, but not really, because people are in the back, and they have their little offering, baskets, thank you. Let's just go on tour together because we're helping each other, and I like that. Yeah, the little baskets upon you leaving. And so if the Lord has given you a desire, or if you give faithfully, give on the way out. And then it's even less showy, because then you're just like, you just let go and you just toss it in. And so, and then you find blessing, spiritual blessings from giving, Ephesians 1:3. So take advantage of that. It's in the very end. We forgot the last couple weeks, and the offering was more than it's been in the last couple weeks. Yeah. So that's good. And so, and then we had just a really good month in March and April and May. So praise the Lord for that. That opportunity will be at the very end. We've got a winner for trivia. I do an email, a weekly email. Sometimes it's twice a week. But anyway, we had trivia. And the trivia question was, in the coming millennial kingdom, how is it that unregenerate, non-born-again people will be there? Remember, we're taking a literal translation, a literal approach to end times. How is it that unsaved people will be in the millennial kingdom? How is it that they'll be, well, I'll save that for the millennial talk, but how is that? And John Crisante, give him a hand, huh? Sorry, it broke on the way in. So basically, there'll be a judgment, a sheep and goats judgment at the onset of the millennium. And those are for people that get Jews and Gentiles who get born again in the tribulation. So they'll go through. But here it is. The Christians won't have glorified bodies. And so they'll get in, okay, and they'll continue to have children. And Scripture will talk about that. Those children will live to be 100 years old. It's like, oh my goodness, times are changing. Millennial kingdom, not heaven and earth, not new heaven and earth brought down. Somewhere in the middle with Christ's rule 1,000 years. But anyway, those Christians, that get in who have children, well, they're going to have a choice. Satan will be bound 1,000 years during that time, but those children will have a choice to accept Christ or not. So we'll go over that. Nice job, John. Thank you for that. Very nice job with that. Okay, I think I've covered it all. I'm to my very nervous part, which is the cartoons, because you never know how you're going to respond, and that makes or breaks the day. Woo! What's that?
Where do you find those cartoons?
Trust me, it's getting more challenging and more challenging. Hey, before we do that, Jesus, help us to worship in spirit and truth. Help us to learn about end times. Lord Jesus, yeah. Last week, we learned about the church age. And so this week, the rapture. Next week, a little bit of the tribulation, but we're coming back to that in Revelation. Then the millennial kingdom. Then new heaven, new earth come down, Revelation 21. Help us to see what's in front of us. For those of us who call you Lord, for those of us who are born again, for those of us who have received you, Jesus, into our lives, we have nothing but exhilaration and optimism and encouragement to look forward to from this day forward. Yes, you tell us we're going to have trouble on this earth in John 16:33, but Jesus, you tell us you've overcome trouble. You've overcome sin, sickness, death. And so greater is you that is in us, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. So bless us today in learning about the rapture and the two events about the rapture today. Help us to see it for all that you've asked us to see it for. And help it to change our trajectory on this earth to think about things that are eternal and not temporal. Lord, when I fix my sights on temporal things, I'm disappointed every time somebody doesn't interact with me the way I want them to. How immature is that of me, Lord? Help me to raise the bar today in greater hopes for the future. You do the work, Jesus. You do the transformation in our minds based on your word, Jesus, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. So that being said, welcome to our church, even though you're sitting in our family pew. Thank you, six of you on the left. Very nice. Stop that, Moses, and take your bath. Thank you. I'll pay you later for that one. Okay, very nice. Very nice. Hey, so prophecy timeline. We're so weird about copyright that I saw this guy's views on the internet, and so I emailed him. And I said, hey, can I use your chart on so-and-so? And then, like, within the next morning, he goes, yes. And I said, thanks. So you can email Leonard Vandenberg, get a picture of him on the internet. And anyway, so I kind of like this. I like this. We'll see this more and more as we go. Prophecy timeline. Talked about the church age last week. If you didn't get that, you can go online and see that video from last week and get the church age. But this week, what's this week? Rapture! The rapture, yeah. So we're going to get taken up. We're going to get, well, if you want to translate the Greek, caught up. Meet Christ in the air and taken up if you're born again. It's a great time. It could happen any time. It's great. Something to look forward to. I hope you're looking forward to that. Because that leads to optimism and hope. Versus not having hope. We're taken out. So the 7-year great tribulation can take place on earth. And it's going to be miserable. We're going to go through Revelation for the tribulation. Golly, we could do a poem with that. Not today. We're going to go through Revelation with the tribulation, and we're going to go verse by verse. And you're going to go, whoa, okay. I'm glad I'm taken out. And so as you look, we got the return of Christ. Oh, fiddle. We got the return of Christ here after the revelation. After the tribulation, excuse me. Come back down to Christ to reign on earth. Revelation 19, verse 11, if you're taking notes. And you ought to see the splendor of Jesus coming on that white horse and how he's dressed as king. Hoo-hoo-hoo! It's really grandiose. It's really impressive. But he's going to come to judge. He's going to come to set up his millennial kingdom. And he'll have all his believers, us, with him. That's there. I keep pressing the wrong button on the return of Christ. So right there also, well, we won't talk about that today, but there'll be a judgment right there. And that's for those coming in from the tribulation, Jews and Gentiles, those who have not received Christ and gone through the tribulation and lived, and those who have. And that's the sheep and goats judgment. You see that in Matthew 25. So any one of these questions or statements, you can email me. If you get home and you go, I need more clarification, email me at Don, D-O-N, Menich, M-O-E-N-I-C-H, at gmail.com. Just email me. Or if you want to be on the email where I send out emails weekly, and but that might be too much of a bother. I don't want to do that if that's the case. And bombard you with that. So anyway, check this out. It's in your bulletin, but check this out. Today is studying what? The rapture. Okay, on this prophecy timeline, what are we hoping for in our future? The rapture. The trumpet to sound. Doo-doo-doo! Then all of a sudden, we're like, I'll help you, Lord. I'll help you. You just get so excited because you're going to be taken up, caught up in the air. And it's an excitement. You go, no, wait, I'm going to the Dodgers game next week. Can you wait till after the Dodgers game? It's not going to matter, folks. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be a billion times better than the Dodgers game. Even if they win by 20, it's going to be a billion times better. We in our 3-pound brains can't get that, though. We can't get that. We can't fathom it. It's like, no, I want to go to the Formula One races next year in Long Beach. Lord, can it be after that? You silly, silly pastor. Don't you know that even the Apostle Paul said, I'd rather go and die and be with Christ. So what are we hoping for in the future? I hope it's the end times where we'll go and we'll be caught up and we'll be with Christ, because there's some events that are going to take place. So today is about studying the events that are going to take place after we're caught up, which could be today, okay? Probably not, but it could be. We don't know. That's the amazing thing about Christ's return. We're to be ready. We're to be ready regardless. So what are we hoping for in our future? Jesus? I guess I better study your word, Jesus, so I can get heavenly minded about your future. I guess I need to know from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that I got to study the word, so I'll know what's coming, so I can get excited about it. Remember this illustration with Francis Chan? The white part rapture, millennial kingdom, eternal life, new heaven, new earth come down. That's the white part. That's what's left in our lives. That's what's left. This is our life. This is our 70, 80, 90 years that we get. According to Psalms 139, that'll be different for everyone. God determines the number of days. How often do we live for this little area here? We vie for position. Oh, I gotta be right here. I'll do anything to be right. But yet we just have no regard for Jesus and other people and listening to what Jesus is telling us and carrying that out in a loving way. We spend so much time trying to save. I'm going to save. Oh, I'm going to save. And then right here, before I die, okay, I'm going to spend. And our fully complete mind is occupied on that and with that. I mean, think about the things we think about. Is it praying for others to come to know Jesus? Is it actually looking at all this because there's great reward? Or it's like, no. No. We're gonna get that second home. Then after we get the second home, we're gonna invite friends because we're gonna have more friends because they're gonna come with the second home. And then we're gonna have to get more, well, better furniture. They can't come in and think we're poor. So we're going to get better furniture, and we just live every single moment for this 70, 80, 90 years when all of this is going to play out with reward and unbelievable things that we can't even think or ask or process in Jesus according to Ephesians 3:20. Golly, it seems just cruddy that I would focus so much time on just everything and every issue and everything that consumes my mind in the world right there and forget about all of that. It just seems off, really off. And I'm saying that to me. Me first. And that's the problem. Me first. Me first. Me first. Hey, rapture means caught up. 1 Thessalonians 4. Caught up. Look at this at the bottom. No church mentioned in Revelation chapter 4 to 19 on earth. No church mentioned. No church mentioned. So it's just like church is taken out. Church is taken out. You go, well, I don't think so. Remember, eschatology, end times, we can agree to disagree, and it's okay as long as your view also is within the pale of orthodoxy, okay? That scripture, you make a valid point and scripture validates it. So we don't fight on these things. I'm just giving what I see as the most literal interpretation. That was my qualifier at the beginning. Check this out. 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will be with the Lord forever. So see, we see caught up here. Caught up. That's where we get the word rapture, but it's a different Greek word in the New Testament. Caught up. Some would say snatched out. Taken away, and kind of go from there. So that's what we're waiting for. We've talked about that a little bit for 2 weeks. Check this picture out. I mean, that's kind of Halloween-y, right? But at the same time, I mean, can you imagine? Dead in Christ will rise first. Going to be made perfect in terms of our bodies. perishable to imperishable, corrupt to incorruptible? Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, maybe. I don't like the lightning. The lightning would be maybe hard if it hit me, and I would be worried about that, but God says I don't have to worry about it. What's next? Say what's next. Caught up, taken up, what's next? Here we go, 2 Corinthians 5:10. What's next? What's next? Now, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things while in the body, whether good or bad. So this is going to be a time, this is going to be a time of evaluation for Christians. If you are not a Christian, if you don't embrace Jesus as Lord, you're not going to be here. You're not going to be at the evaluation. If you invite Jesus as Lord, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, then you'll have an opportunity to be at the judgment seat. So we got to know that only for Christians. Now remember, there's no condemnation for Christians in Christ in terms of judgment, this judgment. Okay? We've been bought with a price. We're trusting the merits, the resurrection power of Jesus to save us, not on our own. So this is a separate appearing. And it comes right after rapture. I'll get to that in just a moment. So, you, Christian, me, Christian, we're gonna give an account to the way we lived our Christian life. Did we follow Jesus? And it says in just a moment that some of our good works, so to speak, are going to get burned up. And that's not good. So, but it's, wait. If there's no condemnation in Christ, why does it say bad? Take bad out. Well, no, you can't. That's God's word. You can't do that. Whether good or bad. So I guess there's a place as Christians that we may suffer loss at the Bema seat or the judgment seat. You see, oh, Pastor Don, you said Bema. That's weird. It says judgment seat there. It says judgment seat of Christ. There's a word that's missing. It's a word in the Greek that gives us judgment seat. Anybody know what it's called? Smart group. Yes. Bema. The Bema seat. So Bema, this is what Bema means. So when we're before Christ, a Christian, saved by grace, not of works, lest any man or woman should boast. When we're experiencing this before Jesus, you think, oh, that looks good. What is the person getting right there? A crown, yeah. One of five crowns, the Bible says. But let's go on here. Look at Bema. Look at what this might probably looks like instead of this. Bema's a raised platform. So we'll be before Jesus. He'll be in a raised platform. Okay? True nature to the word. Now look at this. Look at the posture here. 1 John 2:28 says that if we abide in Jesus right now, dwell in him, that when Jesus comes back for us, okay, we will stand boldly before him and not shy away at his coming. So again, abide in him, walk in him, and know that the posture is a little bit different. It's like, yeah, I'll walk with him when I see more of the signs with Israel. It's like, why would you pass up abundant life and living now? I want to live like a hellion for a while. And then when I'm just at rock bottom, I'll probably turn. No, you won't. You're deceiving yourself. I know because I've been there. I bought the t-shirt. I left it at home because it's church. You see what I'm saying? So here we go. Bema seat. You and me as Christians, not together. I could say, Sam, you go with me to the Bema seat. You go, we lock arms. Would you help me at the Bema seat? And you can't do that. You can't bring in your best friend. Okay? You can't bring in your church group. It's you alone. Let's go on. Here's the thing, quickly for the crowns, if you need clarification. Five crowns. You might receive one of the five, two of the five, three of the five. I don't know. We've got the incorruptible crown, 1 Corinthians 9, 25-27, awarded for striving for the mastery, the victor's crown. To endure, the crown of life, Revelation 2:10, awarded to those who are faithful unto death, the martyr's crown. The third crown, awarded for feeding and being an example to the flock, 1 Peter 5, 2-4. Expect the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8, awarded to those who love his appearing. And the last one, evangelize, the crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20, awarded to those who win the lost to Christ, the soul winner's crown. So you've got some crowns that could be placed on your head at the Bema seat that happens after the rapture. You've got that clearly spelt out here. And the interesting thing is that what, will we take the crown and give it right back to Jesus? Probably. You're saying, wait a second, I'm working, I'm abiding in Christ so I can get a crown and give it back to Jesus? Huh? We don't understand the peace to be in fellowship with Jesus and to be receiving his blessings in totality until heaven. I can't explain it that I know what that's like because I'm still in my flesh. And so let's just go on because we've got a 1,000-year millennial reign where Christ is going to... He's going to lead from Jerusalem. And we're going to be in that time, not heaven, not new heaven and earth come down, Revelation 21. Not earth as it is now, but we'll study the six passages about what the millennial kingdom will look like. That's coming. We'll study that in a couple weeks. But anyway, let's look at this. What else does the Bible hint at? Well, look at this. This is written to leaders at Corinth. What works of ours will withstand the test of fire? And as we see this verse, we're going to come back to it because I want to just show you one more thing as far as reward goes. Different degrees of rewards for his coming kingdom. When Jesus was arriving to Jerusalem his last time, he was telling his disciples he's going away. And he said, be faithful. Be faithful when the master's gone. Be faithful. And so there are different degrees of rewards in the parable of the 10 minas. Okay? Jesus goes away, referred to as the master. He comes back, finds his people faithful. Not all of them. But look what he says. Well done, my good servant. His master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. Luke 19:17. To another he said, the master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Luke 19:19. I believe with all of my little studied 3-pound brain wisdom that God has given me, that we're going to have responsibilities in the millennial kingdom. And we'll talk about those in the weeks to come, what those could be. There seems to be a test right now on earth to see what kind of faithfulness do we hold to Jesus? What kind of faithfulness do we have when nobody's looking? Do we do things that honor him? He's looking at us now. He's looking at us now. This is important. And so we'll speak more on this. But let's look at this. Remember I said here, we looked at 2 Corinthians 5:10. Let's look at the other Bema Seat passage, 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15. Let's look at that really quick if we could. We're going to go 12 to 15 on this one. So, this is the passage. Say passage.
Passage.
Yeah, this is the passage that was written to the leaders at the Corinthian church. And it says, it talks about our works. What's gonna last? What's gonna be counted as reward and what's not? Anyone who builds on that foundation, Jesus Christ, which you'll see in verse 10 and 11, may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, and straw, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. So this is interesting, because you can build on your foundation in Christ and grow as a disciple. You can use precious materials, valuable things, okay? Gold, silver, jewels, okay? Even wood. But again, that will speak to the quality of how you build your relationship up and in Christ. But then there's also a quantity. There's also a mindset and an attitude as to whether or not we're faking it. We're faking it. How many of us would agree that we come to church sometimes, but home is like utter destruction. Maybe your life is left at this time, maybe in utter destruction, and you're going, I'm just faking it. I'm just faking it. I'm living two different lives. Or I'm living one and a half different lives. I'm one way at church, I'm one way when I talk to people, and then I just do dastardly, naughty things. This is what this is talking about. In totality, is your mind that of Christ? Is it of Christ? Is it focused, so focused on him that we're looking for eternal kinds of things and outcomes? We're looking at the kingdom, building the kingdom. We're looking at bringing people to Christ. We're looking to discipleship. We're looking at building that foundation with solid materials, the things that last, fellowship with other believers, encouraging different ministries, giving of yourself, giving of your money, these eternal things. Paul says to focus on things that are eternal, not on temporal. Or when you get out of here today, when I get out of here today, is it right back to the temporal? No. My family member does that. You hang up on her. You know, I mean, you just get ugly and zero to ugly in like no time at all. Because we're living two different lives. And we're faking each other out, but we're not faking God out. If the things that you're doing, you're going, I don't even think about good works for Christ or listening to the Spirit. I'm just trying to get through another week. Get some help. Get some counseling. Get some Christian counseling for you or your family. Step out. Don't be prideful, because that's the one thing that keeps you from getting counseling. But we want to live as Christ has demonstrated and has requested. And so this is what's at stake. Works for self, not good. It's going to get burned up. I can come and fake you out on Sunday mornings, but the people that hang out with me After I leave church and throughout the week, they know what I'm really about. Let them evaluate. And then see, hopefully I'm pointing them towards Christ. That's the goal. We've got so much he's given us. That's the goal. And then look at this. Or Christ. I come for Christ, but I'm faking it. I'm faking it. I'm faking everyone out. Not me, but that's something what we come to church with. That's not going to stand. And it says, suffer great loss. You know what some people say that is? It's shame at the Bema seat of Christ. It's shame. It's like, yeah, Don, you followed me. Then you went and followed something else. I know. If my brother wasn't the one that called and said those things, I wouldn't have done. You just stop right there and say, I'm sorry. It says, some will suffer loss at the Bema seat. Different translation. Some will suffer loss. You know what that is before Jesus at the Bema? It's shame. It's shame. It's shame. But will we still be entering into Christ's kingdom? Yeah, baby. Yes, we will. Says it right there. Look at the sexually immoral brother in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He did a dastardly deed. Okay? But yet, salvation in Christ is permanent. 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 Let's go on. We got to close here. Wow. When does the Bema seat take place and how? How do we know? You want to raise your hands. Yeah. Lincoln, you can raise your hands anytime. Amen, brother. Yeah, I do too. When does the Bema seat take place? Here we know. Here we know. Look at this. Revelation 4:10. 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, praising God, adoring God. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus is evaluating the churches, the seven churches. Chapter 4 and chapter 5, we see a unique picture into the throne room of God before the tribulation. Unique picture here, 4 and 5. Throne room of God itself. Read those chapters, you go, oh, wow, that's kind of interesting. The elders, the people that have died before, that are already in heaven, okay? And we'll just say from the rapture, they already have their crowns. They already have their crowns. They've already been rewarded. They've already been there. They've already done that. And they're praising God outwardly, utterly. We see elders in the throne room of God before the tribulation here with crowns, already their reward. I know, I'm almost done. It's coming, I know. You've got to be hungry by now. The other event that's going to take place at this time. The other event that's going to take place. The marriage supper of the Lamb. I've got just one more slide I want to share. But you're a Christian. You're going to heaven, correct? We're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're invited. It's great. Lori, you're a Christian, right? Okay, so you're going to stand before Jesus. Get your rewards. Get your rewards. Lay them at Jesus' feet. Have an idea of what this millennial kingdom's going to be like, which is coming. But here's the amazing thing. As we stand there, and as we're going there together, we can look forward to our best days of all time in our life right ahead. There's four suppers in the Bible. Say four suppers. Four suppers in the Bible. Okay? There's the supper of salvation. If you're in Christ, you know that. Then there's the Lord's Supper. If you're in Christ, that you know that. That's right. That's two. Okay? The third one is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And the last one. Somebody look it up. Revelation 19, verse 17. Somebody read about the Last Supper. Because if you're not at the first three, if you're not at the first three suppers, you'll be at the last one. Somebody read just quickly. Revelation 19, verse 17. Nice and loud. Stand up, darling. You do that so well.
Guess what?
You know, the first three suppers, you're going to be the supper. You're going to be eaten. Christ comes back, full splendor and glory, full out military, all decked out, and we got this Last Supper for those that don't believe, for those that don't know Christ. You'll go to that supper, and you'll be eaten. You will be eaten by animals. You'll be eaten by the birds. Right there. Last verse here. Check this out. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Guess what? Rapture we're going to experience. We're going to go to the Bema seat. We're going to have reward. And then we've got this before we come back down with Christ. The last event in that 7 years before we come back down with Christ. Look at this. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Interesting. The fine linen are the righteous deeds that you've been rewarded with at the Bema seat. Come into the marriage supper. Come in as perfect vessels before Christ. So he takes his bride, marries his bride. So we already see our reward here. And verse 9, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. So here we have, right before the passage of Jesus coming as judge, his second coming to judge the world, right before that, and set up his millennial kingdom, right before that, we've got the marriage, Christ and us, and the marriage celebration. These are two things that we're going to experience after the rapture. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for things in Revelation that just clue us in to better times ahead. Lord, as we understand who you are and how powerful you are, you're our leader. Jesus, you're our boss. You're our advocate. You're our savior. And yet I want to live in that red part of the rope that fights for everything I can get. And Lord Jesus, there seems to be a great problem, a great conflict with the way my flesh wants to live and the way you ask me to live via your Holy Spirit and your word. Lord, work right now in our lives. Work right now in our lives and help us to see what you're doing. Help us to see how you're doing it. Help us to see, Lord, what needs to change moving forward. Oh, yes. If we know you as Lord, we've got this great assurance. We're going to be with you forever. But at the judgment seat, the Bema seat, Lord, that's that time of reward. We don't want shame. We want to know the legacy that we're leaving for others is deep and wide and powerful, Lord Jesus. As everyone stands, Lord, please, let's have everybody stand right now. Jonathan, can you put on my last slide? Take a look at the last slide. And tell me if you really believe it today. Does God have you? Does Jesus have you in his hands? Are you like clay where he can mold you? You got to answer that before him. Are you able or desire to give today before you leave? Nobody's going to watch you give or not give except Jesus. And the only way he'd want you to give is because cheerfully in proportion to what you have, what you've been given. No legalism here. What evidence is there that God has got you? What evidence do you have? If somebody asks you, how do you really trust God and know that he has you? What are you going to tell them? Well, I come to church. Oh, fellow believer, it's much different from that. Are you with him in his word? And I don't care if it's 5 minutes. I don't care if it's 10 minutes or a half hour or 2 hours. Are you with him every day in his word? Are you praying? Are you listening? That would be evidence that you believe that God's got you. Do you leave here and just go do naughty things, looking forward to come back to church and say, God's got my back, God's my back? We can pick the sin, but we can't pick the consequences. That's why when your pastor 15 years ago started to get into some gray areas, I sought some counseling, some Christian counseling. I saw the magazines at the store, and all the girls were tan. They had these great tans. So I went on a kickabout for the next several months to say, honey, would you start going to the tanning salon? And I went down a road that wasn't godly. I had to repent of that. I saw a Christian counselor at the time when I was going to seminary. And he said, why would you be so fixated on this? As you grow with your wife, you're going to be very embarrassed that you crossed this bridge, that she wasn't that. And then in not so many ways, he says, Don, have you looked at yourself? And I woke up. Don't continue on a path that's dark, where the works are going to get burnt up. And you're going to be disappointed. And even your countenance will be down. If you're living a private life, your countenance will be down now. People will see it. Let them speak into your life when they see it. Would anybody be willing to come to the altar or come and talk with somebody who will be up front just to pray with them, just to get a new leaf on life, a new leash on life? Anybody be willing and need to come forward to just say, hey, I want a do-over. Hey, I want to change this. Hey, I'm not leading my family in this area well. Anybody, let's get some counselors first up here. John, if you would, Bo and Tabby, if you guys wouldn't mind, be great. Anybody else want to come and, Sam, you want to come forward and receive people, please? Simon, be great. People up here, I'd take my wife, but she's in childcare right now to counsel. But if you just want to come and you want to pray with somebody, the Bema seat is real. It's like, oh no, I'm not pre-trib premillennial. Okay, I'm an all-millennialist. Okay, there's still going to be a judgment seat for you as a Christian. Okay, that's what I'm trying to make sense and make people understand. If you need to come, come now. Come now while we sing. Come now. Let the Holy Spirit move. If you want to pray at the altar, pray at the altar.